Ah, now time for the James Whale Radio Show. And listen, today's show, fascinating. I will be talking to Nigel Farage. He, of course, is the leader of UKIP. Everybody's talking about immigration. Lots of people are talking about how powerful UKIP could become. Lots of people talking about, is Nigel Farage, are UKIP racist? Is it a far extreme right-wing organization? Are they serious about politics? I will be talking later on in the program to the leader of UKIP, Nigel Farage, and lots more besides. Roll titles.
James Webb.
All right, okay. Right, here we go. Very good day to you all, wherever you are, whatever time you're listening to. I'm James Whale. This is my radio show that is broadcast through a myriad of stations. Let's say hi to all our friends who've just taken up the program on WiganFM.com. So for all those people on WiganFM.com, they're new to the family, Whale. Say hi to them. Robbo, say hi.
Hi, WiganFM.
Look, come on, try and sound a little bit more enthusiastic, Robbo.
Hey, Wigan FM! Glad to have you.
Yeah, okay. Well, don't go overboard, please. Wigan FM, welcome to our family, Whale. If you want to have us on your radio station, get in touch. Tell you later how you can get in touch, and we will talk about it. We've got loads of people here. Justradio.net, coastradio.co.uk, MyPickTV, many more. I'll tell you more as we go on. Our friends at Talent GB as well and everybody else. So wherever you listen to the James Whale Radio Show, welcome to you today. Now, what else are we going to do on the program? We're going to talk a bit about immigration with Nigel Farage in a bit. I do want to talk about wind farms. I do want to talk about wind farms because the weather has been good for wind farms, particularly where you are, Robbo.
That's right. It's very, very windy here. Very windy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's in the wilds of Wales. You see, we're fabulous now with new technology. You can be anywhere and do a radio show from anywhere. So that's what's happening at the moment. Miles Northcote loves them. Absolutely loves them. So that's pretty good. And by the way, any of the subjects that I end up going on about, you want to have your say, you can do that. Very easy. Very easy. All you've got to do is drop us an email.
Or go to facebook.com/James Whale Radio.
Or, as Robbo says, go to facebook.com/James Whale Radio. We have another competition and a competition winner later. Let's talk about these wind farms because people are getting more and more dischuffed with them. And, you know, we're spending a lot of money in this country on wind farms. Miles Northcote might love them, but Jill Worsley, by the way, hates them. She says they're ugly, a blot on the landscape, ruining the countryside, waste of time and money. They cost more to build than the power that they produce. And, you know, that's about right, because these wind turbines actually can't go if the wind is too strong. Obviously don't go if there is no wind. And quite frankly, it costs quite a lot of money, power and energy, i.e. apparently pollution, to build the flipping things. In China, they're building millions of them. I'm not absolutely sure what in the future they are going to achieve, it, if anything. Mark Forrester says, James, everyone in the power industry knows they're a waste of time. They don't generate reliably enough to be able to be used to provide the base load. You'll always need the big generators, gas, nuclear, coal, etc., because they are flexible and easy to manage. And a good, reliable electricity network uses lots of different energy sources, similar to what we have now. You will never see wind turbines taking over from the big coal, gas and nuclear plants. Mind you, when we run out of coal and gas, we'll have to think of doing things other ways. I think probably living on an island the way we do, wave power would have been better. Don't you think, Robert? What do you think about this?
I think wave power is the obvious answer. I really do. I think we've got a lot of water and a lot of waves.
A lot.
And the tide goes in and out twice a day, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah. No, well, I think it probably does. I think it probably does, yeah. If not more. No, it goes in twice. You've got to work out, by the way, you've got to work out, make sure that dolphins and fish and all sorts of, you know, all the animals that live in the sea have to be protected, because sometimes if you're putting up these big turbines in the sea, they all get mashed up, don't they?
What, the fish?
Yeah.
What, in the turbine?
Yeah, of course they do. But don't be silly. Of course they do.
The wind turbines?
Yeah. Not the winter. No, not the wind turbine. Don't be stupid. You know, the turbines in the sea.
Oh, the
turbines in the sea.
The tidal turbines.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Now, I thought you were putting on a bit of weight when I saw you the other day.
I went to the gym this week.
Why?
Because...
You've never been to the gym before, have you?
I've been once before, but I went this week, and I was knackered. Absolutely knackered. And
I'm
hungry.
Not surprised.
God, I was so hungry when I left out of McDonald's on the way home.
You, not to upset too many people, you have a McDonald's every day.
Not every day.
I was reading this in the paper the other day. Medieval monks and hermits followed fasting diets almost identical to those now. Have you heard of the trendy 5-2 diet?
Yes, I have.
Do you know, I mean, these are just a waste of time. Beyonce, Benedict Cumberbatch, you know, Sherlock.
Sherlock, yeah.
Various people doing this diet. Why? Look, if you want to lose weight, it's dead simple. I will tell you the whale way to lose weight. Sorry, that was me knocking the microphone. The whale way to lose weight is easy. Don't eat as much. Do some exercise.
Well, thanks for that.
What?
Well, that's... Why didn't anyone tell me that?
Well, I've no idea, because some of you, you go to the gym, you spend enormous monies at the gym. You'd be far better, listen, all of you, be far better sending a donation to keep the James Whale Radio Show online going around all these radio stations and everywhere it is, than paying it to go to the gym. And then I will give you some helpful tips, like if you want to lose weight, don't eat so much. And get some exercise.
Forget
the fatty diets. They don't work.
When I was at the gym and I was pedalling away,
yeah.
I went online on the pedal bike thing and I went to the James Whale Radio Show webpage. And
really?
And it all worked. And the thing I want to know is, with all these people running on treadmills and pedalling away, why don't they power the lights in the gym?
Do you know, that's not a bad idea, because one of my big ideas for power generation is in Victorian times, in the prisons, and you know, we always have a problem with prisons and they cost too much and, you know, prisoners get bored and everything else. Well, here's what you do. In Victorian times, they had treadmills in many of the gyms. Think of your hamster wheel.
Mm-hmm.
They had these treadmills, and prisoners had to go in these treadmills, and they just walked around aimlessly. Well, now you could have a modern, state-of-the-art treadmill in prisons where prisoners went in, you know, maybe only 4 or 5 hours. They walked around continually. This powered a generator. While they're doing it, by the way, they can actually be online or they can be doing various other things which will be powered by. They can power the electricity for the prison, and they can probably generate enough power to power some of the homes and businesses around the prison.
4 or 5 hours, though. I was knackered after 15 minutes.
Well, you know, you probably, if you were going at a steady pace, you'd be able to do more. And I don't know how many hours, but you've got lots of prisoners, so they can do shift work.
True.
Well, don't you think that's a good idea?
It is a good idea. I would have thought they'd have powered the gym, or maybe the internet didn't work until you pedalled fast enough.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a flipping good idea. By the way, guys, don't forget, talking about helping us to fund the programme, our friends at Love Film, don't donate money. They pay us every time you click on the Love Film logo at the top of our page. Just go to jameswhaleradio.co.uk. You may be listening via the radio, but if you go to our website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, and on the page, click on the Love Film banner, and you will get free movies for a month, okay? You will get a month of free movies. But in order for us to actually get money to help this program, because we have to actually make some money so that we can put together this program, you need to do all the business. What do they need to do?
They basically need to sign up for the free trial.
Sign up for it. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you for that, Rob. See, you're not as stupid as people say. If you sign up for it, if you just click on it and have a look at it and think, oh, no, I can't be bothered, we don't get anything. So if you listen, you have the free movies for a month. You don't have to carry on with it. All right. You might like them. Who knows? But we have to get you to actually sign up to them for the free movie, the month of free movies. So it's dead easy, all right? And then it's up to you. If you want to carry on with it, you carry on with it. But for the first month, you will get it absolutely free. You can watch as many movies as you like. Just click the link at the top of the page, and that helps to fund the program. Otherwise, we'll have to contemplate having huge rafts of commercials, won't we?
We don't want commercials.
I like commercials, as a matter of interest. Well, I like a bit when I'm working on the BBC. I like the fact we don't have any commercials. And then when I'm working for commercial radio, you get paranoid if there are no commercials.
Well,
you suddenly, oh gosh, you know, no commercials. Won't be here next week. Right. Okay. Just one other thing that we have to do before we go on, and I think we need to tell you that this show and all the others we have done are on iTunes. So if you go to iTunes, search for James Whale Radio Show, click subscribe, and this is free. Why is this free?
Because we're nice.
All right. Subscribe to our James Whale Radio Show YouTube channel for free.
Yeah.
For free?
Mm-hmm.
And you can get not only this program, but all the other ones we've done. I think it's time for us to take a little break, maybe play a couple of jingles. Why don't we play perhaps a song? What about Close Your Eyes by Electropilot? Yeah, that'd be good. Here it is. The name's Whale. James Whale.
Is it?
I don't know. I don't, you told me to say it. Why did I say that?
Because the song sounds very Bondy.
I didn't think it did.
Would you like me to play it again?
No, no, no. Once was enough.
You are listening to James and Rob on the James Whale Radio Show.
You just don't understand radio, do you?
I have an hour to, well, actually 55 minutes I have to put a show, and the Lee John
thing... Are we recording now? Can we record?
We are recording, yeah. We have
all right, well, I want all that out where we're, I mean, put into the programme where we're complaining about what you think should be in and what you think shouldn't be in.
I'm not doing that.
Because what should be in the programme I'm doing...
Everything you're doing is in the programme.
Yeah.
Lee John is in the can waiting for a week where you go, you know what, I haven't got anything to talk about. And I go, it's no problem, I've got Lee John.
Right, okay.
Trust me, we had, that week, we had Linda Nolan, we had Russell Grant, Paul Daniels.
That was good. They were good. That interview with Linda Nolan was good.
Yeah, Linda Nolan, that she was in. Yeah. Russell Grant, Tony Tobin, and you wanted me to put all those in one show?
All right, stop. Shush. Now, just everybody who's tuned in now at this minute is going to wonder what the hell is going on. We're having an argument, ladies and gentlemen. Producer Rob is trying to tell me what should go in the show, and I'm telling him he has no bloody idea what he's doing. Anyway, listen, let's talk about Celebrity Big Brother, because we were lucky to have Linda Nolan on the show a few weeks ago. If you subscribe... to the YouTube channel, you can go and download that and you can hear it again. She was very good. And she didn't let on that she was going into the Big Brother house.
She didn't.
At all.
Nope. Nothing.
And since then, you've been watching Big Brother, haven't you?
I have. For research purposes.
Just for what?
For research purposes.
No, you're just trying to see if anybody got naked.
They have.
Who's got naked?
The American girl. Don't know her name. Jasmine.
Oh, she has no shame. I tell you what about Lee from Blue? I know him slightly, Lee, and he's a really nice guy. He's sort of like a puppy dog, really. He bounces around with his tongue hanging out quite a lot.
He definitely bounces around.
Oh, what?
He definitely bounces around. He's not liked much by the public at the moment.
He's out, is he?
He got voted out, yes, and then they all booed him, and then they put him back in again.
Why did they put him back in again?
Good TV, I suppose.
Oh, right. Well, Lee is his own worst enemy, as far as I can see. I mean, I just caught a bit of it the other day. Was he trying to get in bed with about half a dozen of them?
Yes, and he did.
How many did he? He did.
Yeah.
That's he did. My boy. They're just asking for it, aren't they? And who's the one who was on The Apprentice? She was on the front page of the paper the other day saying, I'll do a sex tape for £500,000.
I'd do one for £500,000.
Listen, buddy, I would do one for 250.
What, pounds?
Well, the way things are going at the moment, possibly. But listen, get in touch, 100,000. I might be prepared to negotiate.
You've already dropped from 250 to 100 in the space of 5 seconds.
1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still a big jump.
Well, I said, you know, it depends. Depends, you know.
50 quid.
It depends. No, thank you. Mind you, if it gets that bad, I'm moving. David Cameron admitted the other day that the storms we've all been suffering, and you in Wales have suffered quite a lot, all the fault of climate change, he says.
Handy.
So wherever David Cameron got the idea that he is meteorologically, is that the right word?
It is the right word, yeah.
Trained, I have no idea. Of course, the climate has something to do with the bad weather. The bad weather is the climate, et cetera, et cetera. But nobody is convincing me that it would improve things if everybody starts walking and nobody drives. And secondly, if we were to cut back all the byproducts of modern life, who is to say that the climate wouldn't be even worse? Your thoughts. Get in touch.
Email the show, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Shall we phone your guest?
Let's do that.
James Whale! James Whale!
Now, Nigel Farage, welcome to the James Whale Radio Show. Nigel and I, of course, are our old friends. We must have done more interviews, Nigel, than any other couple on the planet.
I think we probably have, James, but that's because we're both veterans, you see.
Well, that's a terrible thing to say, and let's just gloss over it. Right, let's get down to basics. Immigration has now become, as it were, the front line in politics. Am I right?
Very much so. I mean, for the great British public, immigration is the number one issue because it links directly into jobs, wage compression, which is a huge issue, and a change in communities over the last 12 to 13 years, the likes of which this country has never seen. And I have to say, I'm very heartened by the great British public because big opinion poll out this week, 77% now of the British population want a proper reduction in immigration numbers.
You're basically the man, aren't you, at the moment? You are the man. Let's just explore, first of all, if we can, because so often on radio shows and television programs, you have very little time. Quite often you feel that you haven't got your point across fairly. Sometimes interviewers think that they haven't been given a fair chance. Let's try and explore just briefly some of these myths, if you like. Are you racist?
Nope.
Why do you think some people want to try and lay that label on you?
Because the easiest way to deal with somebody who is making a difficult alternative argument is to try to attempt to demonise them. And that is what is going on with this argument. Of course, it's true. There have been some people in British society, whether it's the National Front or whether it's the BNP, who have come at this issue with undoubtedly a racist and sectarian agenda. But anybody that seriously examined these things has known from the start that that is never what's motivated UKIP at all. And it is just a crude attempt to demonise UKIP. And you know what? It doesn't work. It doesn't stick. And fewer people say it to me now.
If you were in power tomorrow, would anybody who had made their home here from another country have to feel threatened? Would they be, if UKIP was in charge, would there be any forced repatriation?
Not if they come here legally, no. And whilst I think it was a huge mistake to open the doors in 2004 unconditionally to eight former communist countries, the fact is, if people have come here legally, then it would be, I mean, absolutely morally reprehensible for us retrospectively to say you can't be here. So no, there is absolutely no plan or proposal for us to do that. However, if you have come here illegally, if you are a failed asylum seeker, then I think actually the British government is duty bound to do something about it and to make sure that decisions made in courts are upheld and that people go back to where they've come from. Otherwise, if we take the soft touch approach, the message goes out to the rest of the world that actually you can go to Britain illegally and nobody will ever do anything. So I'm drawing, James, here a distinction between those that came here legally, to whom I would not pose any threat at all, and those who have come here illegally, to whom perhaps I would.
Are you concerned, Nigel, that there may be some unscrupulous people that would like to get in with you and then be far more radical, far more xenophobic than you obviously are?
Well, I don't really like the question, far more xenophobic than I am, because it implies there is a degree of xenophobia in what I do, which is not the case at all. And, you know, I'm anti-European Union. I'm not anti-Europe. I'm married to a German. I adore France. I think Europe's a great place. So there is no element of xenophobia in this. But if you're asking me, am I alert and aware to the fact that UKIP on a political up will be attracting some people who will look to use us to pursue their own goals? You bet your life I am. And that's why, you know, we've introduced in this party really, really rigorous testing of who people are, what their backgrounds are, and to make it absolutely clear that those with extreme agendas are not welcome in our party. And indeed, we, over the last few months, have chucked out several people who've jumped on the UKIP bandwagon to try and use it for their own ends, and we won't tolerate it.
Britain isn't the only European country that feels the same way as you do and people here in Britain. There are other countries, France, Germany, Italy, who feel that they are losing their sovereignty as well. Are you in touch with those organisations?
Very much so. And I've got a meeting next Tuesday with the leader of the Finnish Eurosceptic Party. And I had a meeting yesterday with some people here in London who come from Greece to see me. And I'm in touch, you know, right across Europe, north, south, east and west, with all sorts of movements who believe in national democracy and who want a European vision that I want, which is, you know, let's have a Europe, for goodness sake, where we're friends together, where we trade together, where we cooperate together. We do all the things that good next-door neighbours should want to do, but we are the masters of our own house with our own democracies. And this is really growing now in UKIP, in not just in UKIP, but across Europe, incredibly quickly. And I think it's very positive, because the Europe we've got now is run by Herman Van Rompuy, Mr.
Your friend,
who no one's ever voted for, nobody had ever heard of. They've not been elected, they can't be removed, they're paid exorbitant sums of money, and they've got the power, not our parliament, and that is not the Europe that my mum and dad voted for 40 years ago.
So how do we manage, in that case, to achieve a unity within Europe? Because that's what everybody wants. We don't want to be in a situation as they were in the Balkans recently, as they were, of course, in Europe back in the 40s. We don't want war in Europe again. That's the reason the European Union was set up in the first place. How can we be sure that we're not going to head back to those dark old days?
Well, your question, in fact, is a very significant one, because you mentioned the Balkans. Why were the Balkans at war? The Balkans were at war because in 1920 we decided that rather than having separate states in the Balkans that often went to war with each other, we would give them one currency, one flag, one anthem and one union and call it Yugoslavia. And if you enforce unity upon people without their consent, then far from bringing peace, you actually in the end bring war. And that's the lesson from the last 100 years, and as we approach the anniversary of the opening of the First World War, we've got to start looking at the big picture here. The lesson is that mature democracies don't go to war with each other. Countries where there isn't democracy, or countries such as Germany in the 30s where democracy has broken down, or countries that are artificially created like Yugoslavia, tend towards war. So if we foster across Europe a club of people that can work together, agree with each other on a mutual basis to do things or not do things, then we will have a happy, democratic Europe. And it'll be, I tell you what, it'll work a lot better than the current one we've got with the euro and all the problems that we're seeing, particularly in southern Europe.
How can we achieve this, Nigel? How can you help achieve this without allowing those people, and there are a number, and that they are a problem as well, who just want conflict within our own country, if you like. People who, when you mention the word foreigner, the hackles on the back of their neck rise, and they just want confrontation. And there are, it's a small amount of people, I grant you, but they're there waiting to kick off if they can.
James, you know, actually, you know, as I get older, I take a sort of more objective view of this. I actually think the number of people in our country that feel like that and generally and genuinely want for there to be tension and violence between communities, I think they are few in number. I think they're so few that they are frankly insignificant within this country. I have absolutely no doubt. But the vast majority of British people are very decent people, but very, very hacked off by what has happened to them over the course of the last 12 to 13 years. You know, what open-door immigration has done, it has driven wages down towards the minimum wage. We've seen wage compression. We've got 1 million youngsters unemployed, and I refuse to buy the myth that they're all lazy and useless. We've got divided communities. We've got pressure on our primary schools, on our hospitals, on our public transport. The population's gone from 60 to 64 million in the last 12 to 13 years, and we haven't got the infrastructure to cope with it. And what you're seeing is frustration. Yes, a degree of anger. Yes, but are we seeing a growth of a really unpleasant extreme right-wing nationalism? I don't believe we are.
Do you think if UKIP do as well as people are expecting in the next election, the Euro election, which is on June the 15th, isn't it?
No, May the 22nd, but it's
May the 22nd. Ooh, it's even sooner. do you expect a big turnout this year?
I think the turnout this year in the European elections will be the biggest we've seen ever. And the reason is people are going to come out and vote UKIP because we're giving them something positive to vote for. We want to divorce ourselves from political union, take back national government, democracy, pride, self-respect, and our ability to re-engage with the rest of the world. This is not a negative, it's a positive agenda, and I think people in large numbers are going to turn out to vote for that rather than sitting at home and moaning, isn't the European Union awful?
If people don't vote, will this be their last chance? Do you think this is the chance, never mind about the referendum on coming out of Europe or staying in Europe, this on the 22nd of May is a chance for people to make their feelings known, is it not?
It may be. It may be their last chance. I suspect there'll be other chances, but it may be their last chance. But what I am saying to them is that, you know, 77%. The British population now support the UKIP policy, which is we should have a sensible, managed border migration policy and not an open door to the poor countries of Eastern Europe. Here, folks, is your chance to come out and tell the establishment what you think. If you don't take this chance, you may regret it for a very, very long time.
And Nigel, would you, after May the 22nd, after this has all happened, depending on the result, will you then consider standing for Parliament, for the domestic Parliament? And do you think that would be a way of making, I don't know, I suppose, making Europe more relevant or not, as the case may be, if you had a say in Parliament itself?
Well, I think, you know, if we win the European elections this year, and I very much hope that we can, I then believe that the next big hurdle is the general election of 2015. We've got to get UKIP into that House of Commons. And do you know something? I intend to lead the charge. So the answer is yes. I will select a seat after May the 22nd and do my absolute best to get elected with a gang of us into Westminster in 2015. And who knows, we may well make up the balance of numbers next time round as Nick Clegg did last time round. And if we do that, I promise you one thing, there will be a referendum.
Do you believe that the Tory coalition government, when they say there will be a referendum, whatever, after the next election?
I don't believe a word they say. This is, I mean, Dave, cast iron Dave, gave us a cast iron guarantee that if he ever became Prime Minister, there'd be a referendum on the Lisbon Treaty. We haven't had one. He then spent 3 years telling us we should never have a referendum. He now tells us he absolutely believes there should be a referendum. I don't believe a word he says. I believe he says things for his own personal political advantage. I believe he is wholly unprincipled. And he's also said whatever the outcome of his so-called negotiations, he will advocate a yes vote regardless, which means he's thrown away the stick that you need to carry before he's even walked into those negotiations. I have no confidence in this guy at all.
Just finally, just to reiterate, Nigel, so we know exactly where we are, do any Brits who have made their home legally in Britain have anything in the who don't originally come from this country have anything at all to fear from UKIP?
Absolutely not. Anybody that's legally come to this country, whether the borders were too loose or too tight, regardless of that, anybody that has come here legally has nothing to fear from me whatsoever. We will not retrospectively seek to change the law, but we will seek to stop 500,000 people a year coming to this country. That number is simply too big to be coped with, and it is doing ordinary, decent working families too much harm.
Nigel, thank you very much indeed. Just one last little question. If nobody turns out to vote for UKIP on May the 22nd, is that the end? Will you give up? Will you go on and do something else?
Well, if it goes that badly, I'll just slope off for a pint and think about my future. But do you know something? I've got a good feeling about this. I've talked for the last 3 years about an earthquake in British politics, and I think we're close to it.
Nigel Farage, leader of UKIP, thank you very much.
Thank you. James Webb!
So medieval monks and their five-two diet. 5 days they eat, 2 days they fast. What a load of dribble. Did you see the other thing as well? One of the headlines in the papers the other day. I say the other day because, of course, I never know when you're listening to this program. But the other day I was discussing on Sky News, apart from anywhere else, sugar. It's the new tobacco. Did you know that?
Sugar is the new tobacco. Well, they used to chew sugar cane, didn't they?
Well, they did. But apparently, if you drink a here we are. It's all in the papers. Starbucks caramel frappuccino with whipped cream and skimmed milk. I wouldn't myself, but you might.
No, I wouldn't.
There's only one way to drink coffee, in my view, and that is black and no sugar. Black and no sugar. So how much do you think a Starbucks caramel frappuccino with whipped cream and skimmed milk has in the way of sugar? Let me say, in teaspoons, how many teaspoons of sugar would there already be in the frappy frappo frappuccino?
Without adding sugar, I'd say four.
Four?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else want to guess?
14. Four.
Don't be ridiculous. Any other ideas?
Six.
Obviously not.
Six.
Oh, shut up. This is the number of teaspoons. This is without you putting any extra sugar into the Starbucks caramel frappuccino with whipped cream and skimmed milk. I must admit, the more I say it, the more I want one, is 11. There are 11 teaspoons of sugar in that. Now, you like Coca-Cola, don't you?
That's got about 8 in, isn't it?
9.
9, there we go. I was not far off.
Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola regulars, 9.
So it's healthy to drink Coke than it is to drink coffee?
No, coffee. Well, that's coffee. No, black coffee you haven't got any problems with. Do you like baked beans?
No.
You don't?
That's unless right. They're runny like school baked beans.
Oh, shut up. Oh, dear.
I can't be doing a dry baked beans.
Oh, dear. Well, what about... I bet you like pot noodles, actually.
Nope.
Okay. Well, pot noodle curry king pot has only got... It's got 2 teaspoons of sugar in. But when we're back up into the problems here, Cadbury's hot drinking chocolate. Hot chocolate drinking chocolate. With semi-skimmed milk, by the way. So you might think it was good for you. Six teaspoons of sugar. Pret-a-manger, very berry latte with milk, right? Pret-a-manger's very berry latte with milk. 7. Why does all this stuff have so much sugar in it? I have no idea. Absolutely bloody ridiculous.
Sugar's good for you.
No, sugar isn't good for you. I'm not that much sugar anyway. I think you should consider your diet, really, because on the whale diet, you drink either soya milk or no milk at all. All right?
I'd rather
just
not live.
That. You're incredibly stupid sometimes. Do you know that? Don't forget, if you want to listen to some of the other programs we've done and after listening to this one, why wouldn't anyone? Just go to jameswhaleradio.co.uk, click... on that, well, no, we go to Facebook, isn't it, to see them all. Go to our YouTube radio station channel, and you can listen to them all. Subscribe to it first. I think we should do a shout out to Sherbet Dab Radio, the new radio station for the London taxi drivers. Our friends at Talent GB, I mentioned them again. Of course, Audio Boo as well, where you can get to hear the James Whale Radio Show. What else have we got? TrentSound.com. RFTK Radio, merseyradio.co.uk, Cruise FM, 80s Music Station, loads of them. If you want to have your radio station take this program, just get in touch. How do they do that?
jameswhaleradio@gmail.com.
Thank you very much indeed. I think time for the competition now, seeing that you have no idea what you're eating. Mars bars, by the way. Do you know how many teaspoons of sugar in a Mars bar?
No idea how many.
Where is it? I'm going to tell you right this moment. 8. 8.
Goes well with a nice can of Coke, though. Cold can and a Mars bar.
Do you realise if you had a cold can of Coke and a Mars bar,
yeah,
that would be 17 spoonfuls of sugar?
Yeah.
And who would sit down in their right mind and take 17 spoons of sugar?
I would.
No, you wouldn't.
Not spoons of sugar. No, I would have that in a sitting with a Mars bar and a can of Coke.
Right, okay, competition. Now, this is a great competition, by the way. Enter the competition. We like lots of entries. Shows how popular we are. Last week, the competition was won by Kelly and Sean O'Sullivan. Kelly and Sean O'Sullivan. Isn't that a well-known music hall act?
Could be.
The Kelly and Sean O'Sullivan Show.
Could be.
I've heard of it. Haven't you?
I've heard something similar, yeah. I'm not sure it's Kelly and Sean.
Yeah. KNSO. Well done. You are winning. Will you tell them what they're winning?
They are winning a signed copy of Ashley Tubbardy's EP From the Outside In and a signed copy of your book Almost a Celebrity.
Oh, what a great prize. What a great prize. Eamon Holmes, by the way, told me the other day, just to name drop, how much he enjoyed listening to the audio version that I've done now, the audio version of my autobiography. I said before, you go and check it out on Amazon. Have a little listen. Maybe we can get a little snippet of it and play it on the program.
I think we should give it away.
Maybe we could give it away. Although we seem to be giving an awful lot away.
Yeah.
We don't want to make ourselves broke. This week's competition, you can win that record again by Ashley Tubbardy, because we have got so many of them, we've got to give them away. Also a copy of Gate 36 by Electropilot. We're going to play them in the programme, aren't we?
We just played them earlier.
Did we? Was that the one that sounded like James Bond?
That's the one.
Yeah. Mrs. Moneypenny. Miss Moneypenny. You Miss Moneypenny? No, I can't do the voice. So anyway, there's no question in the competition, but you will win a copy of my book, a copy of the Ashley Tubbardy EP, which apparently lots of people really love, really like it, and Gate 36 by Electropilot. But just if you have some really nice, good music we can put on the programme, and you never get any plays or any exposure for your music, then just send it to us. We'll fit it into the programme. Can't promise we'll fit every... We've had some real not such good stuff sent in. I tell you what we do. We could do a programme of some of the rubbish.
We could.
Well, we might do that, actually. We might do that at a later date. Anyway, there's no question in the competition. If you want to win that, all you have to do is share the link for this show on Facebook. And we will then pick a winner from the share list. So it helps us get more listeners as well. Just share the link to this show on Facebook with your mates and we will pick a winner. Big hello to my followers on Twitter as well. You can tweet me at the James Whale. That's all you do. Yeah, just the James Whale. So if you go to facebook.com/James Whale Radio, share the link with your mates. We'll pick a winner from the new share list, and we'll mention you on the programme next week. Now, here's something a little bit different to finish off the programme with. Listen, it's not necessarily my kind of music. Rob has twisted my arm up my back to play this. haven't you?
No, but...
Yeah, you have. This is for a charity. It's for the animal welfare charity Aviva. And it's Debbie Curtis' Big Band Aid. It has 30-plus stars and celebrities singing on it. You've got Hazel O'Connor, Lisa Goddard, Sue Cook, Yuri Geller, many, many more. And there's a video that goes with this, isn't there, Rob?
There is a video of some animals singing, I think.
Yeah, it's very funny how animals have got the voices of singers and celebrities. But you have to look at this to actually get the full benefit. They've made a 2-track single in aid of the animal welfare charity Viva. So, you know, I like animals, so this is why we're playing it. This is the track Talk to the Animals, and the single, like the last piece of music we played, by the way, from Electropilot. They are all available to download on iTunes, and see what you think of Talk to the Animals.
If I could talk to the animals, just imagine it.
Chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee.
Imagine talking to a tiger.
Chatting
with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be
if we could talk to the animals,
learn their languages, maybe take an animal degree.
I'd study elephant and eagle,
buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig and flea. I would converse in polar bear and python, and I would curse in blue and kangaroo.
The people ask me, can you speak rhinoceros?
I'd say, of courserous. Why can't you? If I conferred with our furry friends, man to animal,
think of the amazing variety.
If I could walk with the animals,
talk with the animals,
grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals,
and they could sing and speak to me.
If I consult with the quadrupeds,
think what fun we'd have
asking for the crocodiles for tea.
Or maybe lunch with three lions,
walrus and sea lions.
What a lovely place the world would be.
If I spoke slang to orangutans, the advantages
any fool on earth could plainly see.
Discussing Eastern art and drama
with intellectual llamas, that's a big step forward, you'll agree.
I'd learn to speak in antelope and turtle,
and Pekingese would be extremely good.
If I were asked to sing in hippopotamus,
I'd say winodamus,
and I would.
If I could parley with pachyderms,
it's a fairy tale worthy of Hans Andersen and Grimm.
Who walks with the animals, talks with the animals,
grunts and squeaks and squawks with the animals,
and they would sing with me.
And if you just stop to think of it,
there's no doubt of it,
our attitudes are so last century.
If I could walk with the animals,
talk with the animals,
grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals, set me free.
So there we are, Debbie Curtis's Big Band Aid, and there's lots more to find out about that and the charity, the animal welfare charity, Viva. That's about it from him, so say goodbye, Robbo.
Goodbye, Robbo.
Goodbye, Robbo. And that's it from me as well. We'll be here next week. Thank you very much indeed for tuning in. Don't forget, you can download all the shows we have done. They're all on iTunes. You could go to iTunes, search for the James Whale Radio Show, click subscribe, or why not subscribe to our James Whale Radio Show YouTube channel? That would be fun as well. And join us again next week. So to everybody who's taken part, which is basically me and Robbo and guests, thank you very much indeed. Stay tuned.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadioShow or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.